this week is actually part 4, I think, of our series on debt. And I'm going to wrap it up this week. And I got to be perfectly honest with you because, you know, when it comes to debt, it's not that I have said everything there is to say. I mean, people make their fortunes teaching classes to people about how to get out of debt, right? I mean, whole semesters, whole series. And I'm kind of tying everything in together here as it is, as I began this teaching, you know, with the fact that it's the new year. And it's a time when we want to change things. And the thing about debt is, it is so tied to every part of your life. Debt is not just a financial condition. Because when someone is in debt, it begins to affect every other part of their life. It can affect their health. It can certainly affect their spiritual life. It can affect their relationships with others. So debt is not like a one-shot deal, okay? If we can fix debt, we fixed your finances. No, we fixed a lot of things. And I had finished up, I believe, in the last teaching on this, talking about the fact that probably the first place to start with debt is knowing what you have and what goes out. And a lot of people actually, it seems so simple, but a lot of people actually don't have a clue. They really don't. They have a general idea, but ask them specifically. So tell me, exactly how much do you have available? Do you have any liquid money that is available? Do you have money set aside in case of something that comes up that you aren't planning on? How much do you actually have going out every month? What are your monthly bills? How much goes out? Now, let's kind of compare what comes in with what goes out. A lot of people don't know that. And part of being a good steward of your finances is that nitty-gritty kind of stuff. Being a good steward of your finances doesn't simply mean, well, you know, I pray over my finances, and I come to church, and I give, and so I think I'm a good steward over my finances. You're not a good steward if you aren't in control of your finances. Come on, Bert. It's like parenting. You know, when you're a parent, you're kind of a steward over your children for the Lord. You're not a good steward if you're not in control. There's more to having children than giving birth.
Yeah, that's right.
A lot more, right, guys?
Yeah.
Amen. You know, and somehow you got to get from part A to part B. And you are the ones who have to do it. Because they don't know how. They think they know how, but they don't know how. So being a good steward, part of that is being knowledgeable, being in control, being aware of everything that is going on. Possessions can play an important part in God's will for our lives. And believe me, I have heard everything for years now. Okay? I've heard people talk about possessions, and you know, there's all kind of people out there that say, well, if you're a Christian, you really shouldn't have any possessions. And then there's others saying, well, these people that tell you God wants you to prosper, that's a very dangerous doctrine. Really? Really? Have you ever been poor?
Come on.
What is more dangerous, being poor or being blessed?
Yeah.
See, it's It's just what you do with those blessings that matters. Mm-hmm. If you have nothing, you can do nothing. You can give nothing.
Right.
Okay? And I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about things. You don't just have to give people money. Do you know that? You can give people clothes. You can give people appliances. You can give people cars. We've done that. We've given people cars. It doesn't just have to be finances. So where do you obtain this knowledge and this counsel to make you a good steward? Do you go out and spend $200 on a course of some kind? You know, fill out a workbook, listen to the DVDs. You get the knowledge from the same place that we're supposed to get all our other knowledge. From the Word. You see, God has it all covered. The Bible has everything covered. Everything. Not just salvation, thank God. Okay? But our finances, our health, our relationships. He's got it all covered. The answers are there. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 15:6. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee, as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. And thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. It's pretty clear. God says, I'm going to bless you. See, he made a covenant with them. And pastor's been talking about covenants. He made a covenant with them. He says, and as I promise thee, you shall lend to many nations, but you won't borrow from them. You'll reign over many nations, but they won't reign over you. And the conditions were very, very clear. They could not have been clearer. You continue in my ways, and you're blessed. You depart from my ways, and you're cursed. That's not even complicated. You don't have to read any addendums and part A's and part B's and legal jargon and, you know, do I fall under this classification or that classification? It's just A and B. You know, it's like, pick one. I'm laughing. The first thing I thought of, I used to teach a Tale of Two Cities. Anybody in here familiar with the Tale of Two Cities? Charles Dickens? Somebody in here has to be. Well, one of the most famous opening lines in literature is the opening line, which is really a paragraph, because Charles Dickens liked words. But the opening line of A Tale of Two Cities is, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. And it goes on from there. And so I'd laugh, you know, because it was a hard book and it was a hard test. I won't deny the fact that my final test on that was hard. So I always like to give the kids a chance for a bonus. So I gave them a bonus question. Here's my bonus question. This test was A, the best of times, or B, the worst of times. And see, the whole point was, they got a point whether they marked A or B. I didn't care. It was right. Do you know how many kids left that blank? And I would say to them afterwards, what is wrong with you? either answer was right, they go, I thought it was a trick question. It's kind of like this, A or B, okay? Follow my ways, be blessed. Step out of my ways, be cursed. Pick one, except in this case, you don't get credit for either answer. Okay, let's stay in Deuteronomy, go over to 30. That's the truth. That's a true story, too. Oh, yeah. Well, in teaching, there's all kinds of stories. I used to always say I was going to write a book someday when I retired, which, of course, I haven't done yet. And the title of my book was going to be, Are We Doing Anything Today? Like every teacher in the world hasn't heard that a million times. No, we're not. I just thought we'd all sit around today and...
Yeah, that's right.
Why, you have something in mind? Something you want to do today? Any thoughts? My favorite used to be when they were absent. And they'd come in and they'd go, did I miss anything yesterday?
Not at all.
And I'd say... No, Tyler, we just sat here yesterday and waited for you to come back. And do you know, there were kids who actually, they'd go, oh, okay, and then walk away from my desk. I mean, it woo, right over their heads. It's fun. All right, Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Here we are again, A and B. And he even tells you which one to pick. Therefore, choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. Wow. You have two choices, and he even tells you the answer. Which kind of makes you wonder why some people don't pick it. Because there are those who don't, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so what are these blessings going to look like? These blessings that God's telling us. Well, we're going to stay in Deuteronomy, but back up a little to 28. Verses 43 and 44. Well, this is, the stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Do you know what this is referring to? This is referring to exactly what we began talking about, debt. When you get into debt, someone is your head. They're over you.
That's right.
Okay? Don't ever think for 1 minute that you are completely free and clear. Somebody has the strings. Somebody's holding it over you. And that's exactly what God was telling the people. So how do you avoid this? How do you avoid having to borrow? By being the lenders. And what do you have to do, have to be a lender? The provisions. You can't give. You can't provide unless you have it to provide with. And being in the other situation, the situation where someone is over you, where they're your head and you're the tail, is not a good situation to be in. It's not a good situation at all. Go back to Deuteronomy 12, 13. In same chapter, 28, 12 and 13. Here's what happens when you have the provisions. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and bless all the work of thine hands, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. So when you walk in the ways of the Lord, here's the blessings. You have the money. You have the finances or the provisions, and you have the ability to lend. You are the head and not the tail. Walk out of those blessings. Walk out of the ways of the Lord, and now you're into the other situation. They're the head. You're the tail. You have to borrow to survive. All right, we're going to kind of fast forward here a little bit to the days of Israel when they were in Babylon, okay, for about 70 years. Only a remnant of the Israelites returned when they were allowed to leave Babylon. And Nehemiah shows a group of them when they're returning to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls, okay? But they are still dogged by the effects of the curse. You know, they wouldn't have been in Babylon if they hadn't walked out of the ways of the Lord to begin with. So now they left Babylon, they're out of there, but that doesn't mean they're free of the curse 100%. Things aren't great, because here's the situation. They are suffering from the oppressive burden of debt. Please go to Nehemiah. I know that's a book you read frequently, huh? Okay, we're going to be in chapter 5. And I'm reading verses 3 through 5. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth. Therefore were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and vineyards. And yet now, our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are brought unto bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and our vineyards. They were suffering from the burden of debt. Look at what they say they had to do. We had to mortgage our lands and our possessions so that we could have food. In some cases, they basically sold their daughters into slavery to get money. Talk about bondage. They said we had to pay tribute to the king. And we didn't have the money to pay tribute to the king, so we had to do other things. You know, we had to get rid of our lands, give up our lands and our vineyards. So they have nothing. They have no land. They have no vineyards left. And they can't even redeem their daughters from slavery because they don't have any money to do it. It's a bad situation. They borrowed money to solve problems. Correct? They had to pay tribute to the king. They didn't have the money to pay tribute to the king. So they borrowed money. And that solved that problem. They needed food. They needed to be able to eat. But they didn't have the food. So they mortgaged their lands and their vineyards to to get food. So now they have food and solve that problem. But then they needed finances for other things, and they didn't have the finances. So they went ahead and sent their daughters into bondage, into slavery, and then that solved that problem. So now it would seem like they've solved some problems here, but in the process of providing provisions for these problems, they've gotten even bigger problems. Yeah. Turn to Proverbs 22:7. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. The solution that they got became slavery. That's what it was. They sold their soul to the company store. And unfortunately, even in modern days, we talk about debt. That's what happens. Yes. People borrow to solve a small problem here. Right. And that's, it seems like that solves that problem. But what eventually happens is that small problem grows into this giant problem. And they have no way to get out of the giant problem because they didn't even have a way to solve the small problem. And it gets worse. Mm-hmm. And it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. Yep. Yep. I used to work with a guy. True story. We're all sitting around having lunch one day, and I don't know how we all got to talking about different things. But somehow credit cards came up. And he said, oh, my wife and I together probably have 10 credit cards. Somebody's going to have to resuscitate Jack in a minute. And he said, and they're all maxed out. All of them. He said, when we need more, we just get another credit card. And I said, I won't use his name, but I said, how do you live like that? I said, I wouldn't sleep. How do you do that? He said, we just pay the minimum on the credit cards every month. That's all, just the minimum. And like I said, if we need another one, we get another credit card. And I said, I couldn't even talk. I was nervous that it wasn't my credit cards. I said, I don't know how you function. He goes, listen. I said, how are you going to pay them off? He says, I have no intention of paying them off. Now I'm like, huh? Yeah. You have no intention? He said, you know what? I'm an only child. My wife's an only child. Our parents are dead and we don't have any children. He says, when we die, who are they going to go after?
That's right. Wow.
That's exactly what he said to me.
Wow. Wow.
Get all these people out here going, okay, let's see. Is there anybody they could go after? I don't. And he was very serious about it. He was serious about it, too. He wasn't joking around, being funny. This was the way he and his wife had decided they would live their life, and they were quite comfortable with it. Proverbs 10:22 tells us, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and there is no sorrow added to it. No sorrow added to it. All right, let's look at Isaiah. Chapter 10. Verse 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Debt's a burden. Debt is a yoke. It's a yoke. Anyone you know who has debt, I'm not talking about, you know, there's $25 on my MasterCard. I'm not talking about that kind of debt. I'm talking about debt. Yes. Anyone you know who has debt will tell you it is a burden. It is like wearing a yoke around your neck. It drags you down. It pulls you down. It causes you to worry. It causes you to get sick. You can be physically ill. It consumes your life. It becomes the one thing you think about all the time. You end up, your spiritual life suffers because truly, that's not the biggest concern on your heart. Your biggest concern is, how do I get out of this mess that I'm in? It begins to affect your relationships. Debt's bondage. And it's not nice. Okay, let's go to Exodus. We're going to start with Exodus 3. Verses 21 and 22. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Okay, now let's continue. Stay where you are, but go to chapter 12. Let's look at verse 36. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians. Mm-hmm. And if you look in my side note, that lent, it says granted. They gave them. They gave them the things they needed that they asked for. Okay? The favor of the Lord. God gave them favor in the sight of the Egyptians. The favor of the Lord brought them out of bondage, and it didn't bring them out of bondage empty-handed. It's pretty awesome. They didn't just get free of Egypt. Like, wow, we got out of here, but all we have are the clothes on our backs. They not only got out of Egypt, they got out of Egypt blessed. Blessed. Yes. Let's look at Proverbs 13:22. And you notice, said they put stuff on their sons and daughters. This blessing extended to their family. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Yeah. You know, that's a scripture that I think is extremely significant. And it's one that's very often overlooked in the Bible. Okay? I want you to look at it. Break it down and realize what it's saying. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's. Children, You know who that is? It's your grandchildren. Yes, Nico. Mimi's taking care of you. Pap, pap, too. How could you possibly leave an inheritance for your children's children when you don't think you were even going to have anything to leave for your own children? Because you live on a wing and a prayer. Month to month. It says a good man. Apparently, God thinks that if you're in a situation where you can leave an inheritance, not just to your children, but to your grandchildren, that makes you a good man. There are so many scriptures in the Bible that tells us God wants us to prosper. I'm not even going to read them all because there's too many for me to read. You can look them up yourself. Psalms 23:1. Psalms 107:38. Psalm 113:7. 3 John 2. And I can keep going. God wants us to prosper. Now, I want to make this clear. Debt is not sin. This whole message, none of this message is to say to you, if you're in debt, oh, you sinner, you. Debt is not sin. Debt is slavery.
Yes, it is.
It is slavery. It is bondage. It is a burden. It is a yoke upon you. It's not sin. Nobody's going to hell because they were in debt. Okay?
Jack spoketh.
You want me to take this one off, Jack? Okay. This is not good. I can't stand here. I gotta move. Okay. Debt is whenever your liabilities outweigh your assets. And that's where I started out by saying, do you even know what your liabilities are? And do you even know what your assets are? Do you know? I mean down to the letter. I'm not talking about, well, I got a general idea, kinda. No, do you know? Have you ever sat down and, you know, before you used to be by a budget book. Now people can do spreadsheets. I can't, but people can. I've never been able to master Excel. It just, ugh. But, you know, you can... Have you ever done that? Have you ever done a spreadsheet where you listed your assets on one side and your liabilities on the other? If you haven't, you should. It's a real eye-opener. Credit card debt is a liability. Okay? On the other hand, there are some things. They're debts that don't really fall into that category necessarily. For example, a mortgage. First of all, you have to live. And a house can increase in value. Or a business. You know, it can increase in value. That's an entirely different thing. Credit card debt. No one's credit card debt has ever increased in value. Like, you know, you've never, like, let it sit there, and all of a sudden, next time you got your bill, it was less than it was the month before. It's like, wow, this is amazing. Doesn't happen. if you're in debt, don't be discouraged. Psalm 68:6 says that he will bring you out of bondage into prosperity. But it's important for me to say here that you don't enter into blessing by getting out of debt. It's the other way around. Yeah. You want to be in the blessing first. You want to be in the Lord's will. You want to follow the dictates. We're back to that whole, if you do this, this happens. If you don't do this, this happens. Okay? So, you have to do this first. He'll bring you out of bondage. He will. Now, once you've determined, once you've done this little spreadsheet, if you can do it, like I've said, there's a really, really important step. Stop getting into debt. Okay? Stop it. You might say, but how? Well, it's going to take some sacrifice, probably. There's some things you are not going to be able to do. There's some things you're not going to be able to get. It's going to take some patience and some time until you chip away at the debts that are already there. You're going to have to learn some delayed gratification. Have you made mistakes? But guess what? God already knows. Okay? This isn't a big secret to him. He already knows. He has the answers. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Okay? But let's go up to 6. And let's start there and put it all together. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. There it is, folks. That's the thing that sometimes people go, well, I knew she was going to get to it eventually. Yeah. But it's not me. It's not my idea. I didn't invent the system. Okay? God did. I don't even understand it. You know, in my brain, I don't understand it. I don't know how God does what he does when you are faithful and give. It blows my mind. I've seen God do things that you think, that shouldn't have happened. But it did. Yeah. Again, I didn't come up with this system. This is God's system. You have to give. You say, but I'm in debt, man. I can't give. Give something. Give something. Give more than you think you can give. You know, and when we looked at Nehemiah, we talked about how the returning Jews that came back, they were in bondage because they had borrowed all this stuff. And now their kids are in slavery, and they still don't have all the stuff they need, right? Let's compare that to the book of Genesis, chapter 26. We're back to Isaac now. This is hard to do with one hand, by the way. In Genesis chapter 26, Isaac was tempted to go back down to Egypt, okay? Because there was another famine going on in the land. And an easy way would have been go back down to Egypt and borrow some food. But I want you to notice what happens. Let's look at 26, 1, 2, and 3. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, under Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. He says, I made an oath to Abraham. God always honors his word. Always honors his word. Okay? He said, don't go down there. Don't go to the bank for the loan. Don't sign up for the new, you know, credit card with 0% financing for a year. He said, don't go down to Egypt. Stay right here where you are. Because I already gave my word. I said, I would take you out of bondage and I would bless you. When you sow in famine, it takes a lot of strength. And it takes a lot of faith. But God always rewards faith. It's not difficult to sow when you have an abundance. Not difficult at all. But sowing in famine, that takes strong faith. But God always rewards faith. God doesn't want you to be in debt. In fact, do you realize in the entire Bible, there's only one debt that God tells you to be in? Turn to the book of Romans. Chapter 13. Verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. That's the only debt God wants you to have. Don't owe a man anything but to love them. Be blessed.